We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Pei Gimel. Ve'im Ken Eifo, the 11th chapter, Shaar HaDat. We'll dedicate our learning to Sar HaChai Batani HaKohen and Hashem Shlev and Aliyah. Ve'im Ken Eifo, Alo Einecha Ro'ot. He's continuing the thought he began developing, and he's taking this thought already for quite a few chapters, and he's expressing in different ways that one of the keys to understanding our Creator is humility. One of the keys to humility is not taking our own life for granted. And last night we saw, he expanded on how delicate the human condition is and how many things are required in order for us to remain alive. And he says, so, Haloinecha ro'ot, after you look at all the points he raised about how each limb has its needs and how each limb in the body can potentially be a source of death. Each limb needs different things in order to remain existent, and without it, it could endanger the whole being. So the way we live, he explained yesterday, is that we're in a constant struggle for survival. We don't view it that way. We think, oh, I'm hungry, I'll eat something. Oh, I'm thirsty, I'll drink something. I'm tired, I'll take a nap. But the truth is, what we're doing consistently is struggling for survival. Meaning, every moment we're breathing. We're really fighting off death throughout our lives. We like to view it in a more pleasant way. I'm tired, I'm going to sleep. But no, if you stay up, you die. A person can't live if he stays up beyond a certain point. I'm hungry, I'll eat. Yeah, you're hungry, you'll eat. Otherwise, we all know what's going to happen. We don't view it that way. We don't view our actions on a day-to-day basis as a struggle with death. But the truth is, he says, the human condition is so delicate that if you think about it, you'll notice, asher ha'edera uilecha, that really what's fitting for the human body, if nature just takes its course, the human body disappears. And in essence, nature, the nature of the world is that it fights the existence of the human being. He has the capacity to fight back. But nature is fighting him, the elements, nature is a struggle. And the struggle is against his existence, and he can overcome that. And your existence is not something that's natural and something that you could say, yeah, that's just the way the world works. Obviously, I should live. But rather, it is a kindness from above that keeps you existent. It is all through his planning and his actions that emanate from his wisdom, blessed be he, להתנגד בהם אל הראוי. Where you can be victorious for a period as you fight off the way things would naturally go, which is against our continued existence. And God prepared for us all the different components that are required for us to have a whole existence. And the different components of the world, be it the components of the human body that give us continued existence, as he described, that if we'd lose even our toe, if we'd lose the smallest limb, our whole lives would be different and far more difficult, and sometimes completely embittered. A person, God forbid, loses their eyesight, their hearing. The smallest changes in our life could make us completely embittered. A guy has a stroke and now he can't taste what he's eating. We take so many things in our life for granted, and he says, wait a second. The smallest change would change one's life completely, to the point where a person might say, I'd rather not live. The smallest change internally and externally. Hashem made different things in the world, and each one has their job within the ecosystem, within the nature. That from this whole system that we live as a part of this greater system, the universe, from that we can have our own existence. We pick the fruit off the tree, we breathe the air, No. Rav Lesman said, no problem. Okay, he told me not to give the key. And you breathe in you take in this life moment after moment. And then he says, it's so beautiful how he can say one line, which encompasses the whole philosophy. He says, really, every moment of living, you're taking something off the timer. It's one less moment you have left to live. Which, what?
A little bit more sand to run through the hourglass.
Right. There's a little bit more sand on the bottom of the hourglass than the top. We don't like thinking about life this way. My brother once said, from the minute you're born, you're dying. It's a process, but it's true. And the truth is that you have no control over how much time is left for you. But rather, you're like a person who's waiting in anticipation. Like the servant looks up to his master with anticipation. Maybe he'll give me something. So too we look up to heavens with the hope that Hashem will also have compassion over us. That's how life is really hovering in the balance. Because maybe you'll make it to the next chapter, so to speak. Maybe you'll make it. We have no guarantees over the future. So again, he's really just expanding on a point that he's been saying for a few chapters now. He's just showing it to us from many different angles, the way Maggid would. He's illustrating it to us, and each time he's shooting it at us in a different way. And you'll notice that these are chapters that we don't enjoy learning. It's like, this isn't how I like to live my life. I don't like to think about every minute as I just died one more minute. I just lost one more minute of living. But he's not talking about living a life of despair or a life of depression. He's talking about having a true appreciation of our position in this planet. We shouldn't take things for granted. We should appreciate our delicate human condition. We should appreciate how much we need the different parts of the body that Hashem gave us and the different parts of nature, and not take those for granted. Lachem, therefore, he concludes, Yishamar lecha l'shmon avshecha pen tishkachta advarim. Be careful lest you forget these points, v'tasech datcha me'abit b'inyaneihim, and you allow yourself to forget, to stop taking note of these things, v'italamta me'em, and you ignore them, v'toshom etziyutcha l'avaya chazaka u'matmedet, which is his recurring theme. And then you'll feel like your existence is something that's eternal, something that's powerful. You'll take it for granted, you'll view your existence as a constant. And then you view yourself as something that's self-sufficient, which is the way people like to view themselves. That's the pride that stands in our way of recognizing our Creator. You err and you forget that you are human. And every person has those moments when he feels like he's indestructible, invincible, that's the word. Right, person feels like nothing can take me down, and he forgets. He forgets how easily a simple cold could take a person down. Every year there are people who die from the flu. They got all excited about the swine flu. Our doctor told us, he said, more people died from the regular flu than died from the swine flu. Every year people die from the flu. We just don't hear about it in the news. But a person should view himself as something that has a short, fleeting moment of life. So don't take life for granted. You should view your life as something that's... a person should view himself in a true sense and realize how minimal he really is, how his strength is really minimal. If you think about it, the past is history. The hatid... In the future, no one guaranteed you you're going to see it. So you have to realize, okay, so then my responsibility is the present. So a person has to realize that, well, in the present, I'm within a system that in its nature contradicts my existence, is challenging my existence. The nature of the world is I have to fight to exist. That the fitting things in nature is that a person will not stand up to the challenge. He will pass from the world. He has to fight that. A person has to view himself as possibly living to see tomorrow. We shouldn't take tomorrow for granted, but we should think the future is a possibility. It's not even a probability. Im chanun yochnecha milamala. If the compassionate one will grant you so from above. Uchvar yadati ken davar efshari ke davar muchzak. Uchvar yadat, and you already know ken davar efshari ke davar muchzak, that something that's a possibility is not like something that's definite, right? Your existence to tomorrow is not a definite; it's a possibility. So don't be confident and assume, okay, we'll deal with this tomorrow. I have the future. If a person lives with this recognition that no one guaranteed him he'd live to see tomorrow, then his life would be different, and then his connection to his Creator would be a constant. The reason we can leave God out of our life for a day, for a week, for a month, is because for that day, week, or month, we feel confident in the present and in the future. And his whole point in the chapter was, don't be so confident, not in the present nor in the future. You have no guarantees about the future. You have no guarantees, and remember that you're a survivor. You're constantly being challenged to survive, and you need his help to make it. So if you view life that way, then it's easier to have God in your life on a daily basis.
Question. The truth is, there is a good chance that everybody around here will be here tomorrow. I mean, that is the chazakah.
Right.
So it's like, is there a statement here?
Look, it's true that halachically we say chezkat chai. If you left the guy alive, you assume that when he come back, he's still going to be alive. That's true. The nature of the world is that we do manage this survival thing pretty well, right? We were all here last week, and Baruch Hashem, we're all here this week. Last year we had an Asher Chaim sitting here with us, and this year we don't. Not everyone made it to this year, right? But his point is that, yes, we do contend pretty well with this challenge. But we have to realize we're contending. And every day there are those people who don't succeed in contending. And every time we do succeed, it's not a given that we've succeeded, but we've had a lot of support from all around us. Meaning our heart continued functioning, our brain continued functioning, our lungs. There are so many things that had to come into play in order for it to work. You'll ask me, do I think I'm going to be here tomorrow? I think so, yeah. I'd like to think so. And I do think so, because if I really didn't think so, I wouldn't be here right now. Maybe I'd be talking to my wife, maybe my kids, maybe I'd be doing something else. I don't think I'd be here. So even though this is a very important thing, I'm very happy we're here, but... What? Right. Chazal say, when a person thinks it's his last day, then he calls his family in together and he has things to tell him. So obviously we all think we're going to be here tomorrow. The question is, how do we view it? He didn't say view it as though you won't be here tomorrow. He said view it as a possibility. You'll probably be here tomorrow. This is a point that people are very uncomfortable with. I can tell you myself, I was bothered that people write in their books, Lashem Arutz Umloa, God has the earth and all that's in it. Birshut Chaim Schwartz. Because that could be misread as, with the permission of Chaim Schwartz, God controls the whole world. Birshut could also mean with the permission of. So that bothered me. So I said, okay, I'm not going to write it that way in my books. So some people write, Sefer Zeh Birshut Chaim Schwartz. This book is in the possession of Chaim Schwartz. They write, Hashem has the whole world. And this book is in the possession of Chaim Schwartz. Sefer Zeh Birshut Chaim Schwartz. Okay, so that's fine. But I don't know where I got this idea from. I once said to myself, you know, is this book really in my possession? This book is in my possession today. Do I know what will be tomorrow? Do I know if I'm here tomorrow? Do I know if I'll be able to hold on to this book tomorrow? I don't know. So I wrote in the book, Sefer Zeh Ka'et Birshut Netanel Frankenthal. This book is currently in the possession of Netanel Frankenthal. And it really ticked me off. I remember writing it and telling myself, what do you mean? You really think it's not going to be in your possession tomorrow? And just writing that word, ka'et, that where I was forced to contend with my mortality, with the fact that I really don't know if it's going to be mine tomorrow, really shook me. And ever since then, I forced myself every time to write it, because I always said, no, that's the truth. But it always shocks me how each time I have to force myself to write that word. And it revealed to me how difficult we human beings, how difficult we find it to contend with the fact that, hey, who said I'm going to be here tomorrow? We can say it, but when it comes to actually writing it, it's much harder. You know, you're writing it into something that's yours, and you're saying, well, it's mine now. I don't know where it'll be tomorrow. But at the same time, it's the truth. It is the truth. People sometimes ask me, what will be tomorrow? And I say, well, the first thing it's going to be is tonight. I'm going to talk to God about making it to tomorrow. That's what I do before I go to sleep. We say, Hashem, you're going to let me go to sleep, and please let me get up. We don't have a guarantee on that. That's the truth. We don't have a guarantee on that. But we don't like thinking that way. We could say it. We have an easier time saying it. But the second he starts spelling it out, it's uncomfortable to all of us. I agree. Me too. But I think it's true. It's not a point we like to think about.
It's a little bit like writing a will.
Right.
People are in that face that maybe they won't be here.
There's a lot of books in the English library that have someone's name in it, and they also have a phone mayor stamp.
You're right, it's really easy to say, because I know, like I say, every time I go to the bathroom, that's what we say. We're like, God, if you didn't keep our body working, you're going to keep them moving.
Even if we think about it, it's
even, like, even when I think about it, it's not like I really think that, like, I have this feeling that this possibility that I could just drop dead. I mean, I'm young, bookish, and healthy. I mean, like, I don't have this sense of, like, being sustained, really. Even though I know it, like, I recognize it.
As far as the Asher Yetzer goes, a lot of those things stop working for me. So now when I say it, I know it's working only because the medications that Hashem brought into the world. And I say it a little bit differently now.
Yeah. When I was a kid, so our high school principal, our elementary school, Menal, Rabbi Flam, he told us, I don't know where he got this from, but he said that Rabbi Akiva Eiger used to go to the town hospital every morning, and he said that only after he sees his constituents who are in bed, who do not have all these functions, could he have real kavanah when he says the blessings, thanking Hashem for having the capacity to stand, for having the capacity to move around, for matir asurim, pokeach ivrim, having the capacity to see. So it's interesting that even giants had a hard time connecting with this. Had a hard time.
Who told you that?
Rabbi Flam,
Zechonot
Levacha.
Which Rabbi Flam?
He's the principal of Yeshiva of Spring Valley.
Rabbi Flam? Chaim Flam?
I think that's his son.
Oh, okay.